blaster above your head. You've wanted it for months, and your imagination fills with thoughts of battling aliens. You pull the trigger, and nothing happens. There are no flashing lights, only silence instead of the laser shooting sound. All of your excitement and anticipation is dashed. No batteries included. Because you have to wait for batteries, playtime is postponed. The delayed gratification has a crushing effect on your overall opinion of the value of this toy. Your excitement about the Laser X10 Super Blaster wanes, even if someone eventually finds spare batteries. If the batteries aren't found, it's even worse. This situation isn't fundamentally different for adults. Missing out on the opportunity to impress customers at the moment when they have first contact with your product or service can be devastating. The power of the first impression. In the activate phase, the business activates the customer's emotions at the first major moment of truth, delivery. Although there are phases that come before activation, this milestone is often seen as the first real interaction after the sale. The importance of creating a remarkable moment cannot be overstated. That first moment is when the customer receives the product they purchased, experiences the service they signed up for, or participates in the kickoff meeting that begins the project. Activation, by the very nature of the word, implies a sense of energy, enthusiasm, and excitement. These emotions should be implicit in the interactions during this phase. With buyer's remorse successfully kept at bay, this moment is the opportunity for the brand or company to impress the customer with its performance. In the beginning, interactions with the prospect and customer were all about the company making promises and foreshadowing the experience and results. Now it's time to actually do something, not just talk about it. But don't just deliver your product or service like a dead fish you can't wait to get out of your sight. Deliver it in an engaging and memorable way. The customer reaction upon delivery should be like the reaction at the theater when the curtain rises. An audible gasp, followed by spontaneous applause. Many organizations do pay attention to this phase. However, few fully capitalize on the opportunity to start things off with an incredible first impression. Maybe your company made some good impressions in the sales process, but this is the first true impression of the product or service. It promises to be a lasting one, so you should make it count. If the initial interactions are negative, a company will find itself playing catch-up. The organization will be digging out of a hole for the remainder of the relationship because the customer's excitement is dampened and they've shifted back into the emotions associated with the affirm phase, fear, doubt, and uncertainty. Let them play as quickly as possible. Apple knows the importance of immediate gratification. In 2001, the introduction of the iPod was a revolutionary moment in the world of technology and music. Prior to this, no one had even considered the possibility of having access to their entire musical library everywhere they went. And Apple offered just that. But Steve Jobs went even further. He demanded that Apple ship the iPod pre-charged, so the new customer would immediately experience the joy of using it. Tony Fadell, one of the original designers of the iPod, described the origins of the pre-charged iPod in his TED Talk, "The First Secret of Great Design Is." Tony explains, "Steve noticed that almost every new product needed to be charged before you could use it, and he said, 'We're not going to let that happen to our product.' So what did we do? Typically, when you have a product that has a hard drive in it, you run it for about 30 minutes in the factory to make sure that hard drive's going to be working years later for the customer after they pull it out of the box. We ran that product for over 2 hours. Why? Well, first off, we could make a higher quality product that's easy to test and make sure it was great for the customer. But most importantly, the battery came fully charged right out of the box, ready to use. So that customer, with all that exhilaration, could just start using the product. It was great, and it worked. People liked it. Today, almost every product that you get that's battery-powered comes out of a box fully charged, even if it doesn't have a hard drive. But back then, we noticed the detail and we fixed it. And now everyone else does that as well. No more charge before use. As Fidel observes, pre-charged electronic devices are now the norm. Very rarely will you buy a new electronic device that isn't fully functional and ready to use upon removal from the packaging. At the launch of the iPod, however, this was revolutionary. Prior to that, all electronic devices needed to be charged from 4 to 12 hours before the customer could begin using them. Apple's decision to ship its iPods pre-charged ensured that the initial moment of activation was everything the customer desired and more. Here's my quick takeaway. Remove any barriers, no matter how small they seem, to your customers experiencing the product they paid for immediately upon receipt. Make it super simple to engage. Grown-ups like toys too. International toy company Tech for Kids has a unique way of making new wholesale buyers feel special. As part of its new customer onboarding strategy, Tech for Kids sends a shock and awe brochure via overnight service. The beautifully designed mailer opens to reveal a built-in video screen that automatically starts playing when the brochure is opened. The video includes a customized message from the sales representative that summarizes the key elements of the brand's business pitch. The video then transitions to a series of sizzles, quick videos combining visuals, audio clips, and messages to create a fast-paced, stylized overview of a particular product, and television commercials that highlight key toys in the product lineup. Control buttons allow the new customer to select which videos to watch and rewatch as desired. The mailer also includes prints of all the relevant ordering materials, including quote sheets, product business plans, and anything else the customer could want or need, all conveniently located in one place. Shortly after this, Tech for Kids follows up by sending a box of sample toys, delivered in a custom box adorned with keywords from the company's core values. This mailer stands out from all the other boxes of toys the buyer receives from competing toy companies. The design of the box helps bring even more attention to Tech for Kids' offerings and reinforces the company's guiding principles. The technological novelty of the video brochure, paired with the high degree of personalization, makes for an incredible first interaction. It helps assure the new customer that Tech for Kids will look after the little details and can be trusted with additional shelf space in the store. This initial interaction establishes a rock-solid foundation for the relationship and previews what doing business with Tech for Kids will be like. No one ever forgets this meaningful and lasting first impression. CEO and President Brad Pederson estimates that this extra thoughtfulness has led to consistent double-digit growth over the past 4 years. Not a bad extra margin of revenues and profits for a company that does more than $50 million in annual sales. Founded in 2008, Tech for Kids recently merged with another U.S. toy company and acquired another as part of an M&A roll-up strategy. The new company has been rebranded Basic Fun, has sales in excess of $100 million, and now has offices in Florida, its headquarters, Canada, California, Hong Kong, and China, shipping toys to more than 80 countries around the world. Here's my quick takeaway. Offering a highly customized, tailored digital experience to your customers makes the interaction remarkable. Officially starting the relationship with an unexpected, high-energy surprise mailing is a great way to create a feeling of shock and awe and set the stage for incredible interactions in the future. You too can do genetic sample collection. DNA testing company 23andMe knew that science-driven brands face an especially large hurdle when it comes to the potential for user error. With this understanding, the company set out to design an unintimidating, foolproof first customer interaction that felt both accessible and familiar to new customers. Because the 23andMe team does not have an in-person sample collection force, they rely on their customers to gather a proper DNA saliva sample with an in-home testing kit. Given the scientific nature of this process and the potential for user or human error, the packaging for the 23andMe testing kit is personalized to emphasize the important role the customer plays in a successful sample collection. The directions are simple and clear, so anyone can follow along and gather the necessary saliva. In addition, the genetic testing kit is visually engaging with a series of colorful designs and playful messaging. Receiving this personalized kit with sample collecting instructions that even the most scientifically challenged customer can follow gets the relationship off to a great start. The sleek and user-friendly interactions that the genetic analysis company will have with the customer going forward are foreshadowed by the first major interaction. According to 23andMe Vice President of Business Development Life Sciences Emily Draban Conley, designing the testing kit to gather a significant sample size of saliva ensures that if the first analysis procedure fails, there is enough to run a second procedure without going back to the customer to ask for another sample. Helping customers have a successful first interaction that also mirrors the ease of use they will experience with the business sets the foundation for a long, thriving relationship. Here's my quick takeaway. Emphasize the role your customers play in achieving their own success. Strive to make your early interactions accessible and familiar in order to avoid mistakes and mishaps early in the relationship. Explore ways to use design, color, emotion, and messaging to make your products and services engaging and experiential from the outset. Shock and awe when you least expect it. The financial planning and wealth management firm, Cornerstone Retirement, based in Las Vegas, welcomes new customers with a mailing to their home that is internally referred to as the Shock and Awe Kit. Since its founding in 2009, the executive team at Cornerstone has pursued innovative ways to design experiences and trigger specific emotions at the beginning of the relationship with their new customers. By providing the customer with a host of resources, Cornerstone emphasizes a commitment to customer education. The quicker the customer learns about the firm's philosophy and approach to wealth management, the sooner the customer will see a return on their investment in a relationship with Cornerstone. The Shock and Awe Kit features Cornerstone's branding on a smooth, magnetic box with "Your best is yet to come" written on the cover. Inside the custom package, the new customer finds a personalized letter thanking them for joining the firm's practice, as well as a series of documents and free gifts. A Better Business Bureau report highlighting the Cornerstone Retirement Team and the great work they do in the community, a folder that includes step-by-step directions for what will happen next, and an outline of what to expect at the first in-person appointment with Cornerstone are but some of the items the new customer receives. The kit also includes an annual report detailing Cornerstone Retirement's assets under management, a description of its business philosophy, and a copy of the book Wise Money by Daniel Wildermuth, whose philosophy of investing, wealth management, and asset growth is practiced by the advisors at Cornerstone. Along with the documents and free gifts, the package also includes a DVD with a personalized video message to the new customer. While a DVD might be off-putting for a millennial, the 55-plus-year-old demographic that comprises the bulk of Cornerstone's clients love receiving things they can easily watch on their home TV. Cornerstone's mailing combines substance, gravitas, and personalized tone in a way that energizes the new customer. In addition, by providing a variety of educational materials, Cornerstone showcases its desire to have informed, prepared, and knowledgeable customers. The team at Cornerstone Retirement understands that the greater the investment a new customer makes financially, the more significant and important it is to get the activate stage right. Here's my quick takeaway. Make the first impression a shocking experience. Combine your welcome with access, or transparency, insight, here's the next step, and unexpected delight, resources for leveling up the relationship. Ideally, you want to paint a picture of what life is going to be like now that the customer is working with you. Full stomachs make for happy customers. Often, the first interaction in the activate phase does not come after receiving a product or signing on a dotted line, but instead happens at a kickoff meeting. While many organizations worry about the content and context of this initial interaction, there are simple ways to make it memorable and remarkable that require little monetary investment. Years ago, I found myself doing a project for the World Bank. As part of this project, I headed to a meeting at the bank's headquarters in Washington, D.C., to kick off a multi-month design project. The meeting was attended by approximately 15 global economists, government experts, and development professionals. These people were, to put it kindly, more comfortable operating in the world of spreadsheets and regression analysis than they were navigating kickoff meeting pleasantries. To help break the ice, I brought in a bunch of flavored sodas, a six-pack of Kraft root beer, I wanted something to drink too, chocolate-covered raisins, and yogurt-covered pretzels. I arrived in the conference room 20 minutes before the meeting and arranged the food in the middle of the table so it was easily accessible to everyone in the boardroom. When the economists arrived for the meeting, their eyes lit up. It was like a New Year's Eve celebration as they raced around the room to enjoy the snacks and drinks. I was absolutely shocked. Who would have thought that $30 of sugar-laden snacks could put a roomful of the world's top economists in the palm of my hand? This simple tactic of providing fun snacks and interesting drinks as part of the kickoff meeting took the normal business interaction and made it something meaningful. It required only a small amount of time and thoughtfulness to execute. It was also inexpensive. Remarkable experience is not synonymous with really expensive. Here's my quick takeaway. Don't forget the basics. It's not just about your products and services. People like food and fun. If you feed them, they will like you. Now imagine what would happen if you took this just feed the attendees approach one step further and tailored the snacks and drinks to the dietary needs and preferences of your kickoff meeting audience. This level of attention would leave the attendees telling a story about your thoughtfulness for weeks and months to come. Summary, phase 4, activate. The activate phase of the customer experience occurs when the customer receives the product or service they purchased in their initial order. This first impression, both physical and emotional, sets the tone for future interactions and creates a baseline emotional reaction to your brand experiences. The customer engages with any packaging, inserts, or information associated with the product or service closely, as they have anticipated the arrival of this initial shipment or first meeting. Think of the energy you need to bring to activate the relationship and create a remarkable experience for your customer. This phase of the customer lifecycle offers you the opportunity to set the standard for future interactions while at the same time welcoming the customer to your brand or community. 6 things to do in the activate phase starting tomorrow. Remember, you don't have to use every communication tool in each phase. Just remember that it's possible to use each tool to create a memorable experience for your customers during this phase. In-person. In-person interactions at this phase in the customer lifecycle should be well thought out, prepared for, and extremely positive. High-energy exchanges coupled with sincere connection and hospitality, make an indelible mark on a new customer during these first key interactions. Chapter example. Bringing refreshments, like I did at the World Bank, lays the groundwork for the relationship and adds an unexpected moment of surprise and delight in the first major interaction. Email. Email communication the day the customer receives their first product or service should address their emotional state and provide clear, concise directions for maximizing the customer's potential for success. Customization is key to creating a feeling of uniqueness and care from the outset of the first delivery or interaction. Mail. Depending on whether you offer a service or a product, mail can be used to create a special interaction. For services, a process map and success checklist. Don't worry, we'll discuss these in more detail in the next chapter. In the initial interaction, offer an artifact of the brand experience and help to build kinesthetic learning and behaviors into the process. For a product offering, enhanced packaging will get things off to a great start by reinvigorating the customer's excitement level. Chapter example. The arrival via mail of an unexpected package filled with a personalized video brochure, like the one from Tech for Kids, or surprise gifts and marketing materials, like those from Cornerstone Retirement, make a powerful first impression to start a new relationship. Packages that are well designed, like those from 23andMe, easy to understand, and ready to use, like Apple, make for fantastic first impressions. Incorporating key elements of the brand spirit, as done by Tech for Kids, into the packaging helps a business stand out from the competition. Phone. A follow-up call confirming receipt of the product on the day it arrives, or checking in during a service call to make sure things are going exceedingly well, further anchors the brand experience. This call will also allow you to preemptively identify any problems with the initial order or service delivery, providing the opportunity for fast resolution. Video. A personalized video helps bring a wow moment to the first interaction, especially if that video includes team members who may not be directly involved in the project who contributed to the initial delivery of the product or service. A video helps put a human face on the interaction at this key moment in the customer lifecycle. Chapter example. A high-tech, high-touch video brochure, like the one from Tech for Kids, creates an incredible first impression and sets the stage for many fantastic experiences to come in the future. Present. In the tradition of the Cracker Jack free prize inside, the first shipment or exchange should include something special and unexpected. Potential prizes include a sample of a product that wasn't in the order, a sample of a product that hasn't been officially released yet, or a card with a link to download a free tool that increases the likelihood of success. Chapter example. Surprises that reinforce the key talking points of the kickoff meeting, as done by Cornerstone Retirement, further establish a brand's credibility with a new customer. Pre-charged devices, like those from Apple, allow the customer to start using the product immediately, delivering on instant gratification and creating a remarkable first impression. Your assignment. Put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the activate phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. As a reminder, don't skim over these and move on to the next chapter. Keep doing the work so you receive the greatest return on the investment you just made in listening to this chapter. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write two or three sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better. Number one, what is the first major interaction you have with your customers post-sale? Hint, if you mail a product, it's when they receive the mailing. If you do consulting, it's the kickoff meeting. If you run a membership organization, it's their first gathering, etc. Number two, describe in detail that first interaction. How long does it last? What does it feel like? How do you build rapport? Is the interaction special or memorable? Number three, in your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the activate phase? If so, what are they? Number four, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the activate phase? Again, be honest with yourself when assigning a score. Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with 2 or 3 ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. I've said it before, but please don't worry about how much it will cost, who will do it, or how to get it implemented in your organization. Keep dreaming big and being creative with your ideas. Number one, how can you use in-person interactions during this phase to give the customer a taste of what it will be like to interact with you going forward? Number two, how can you make your emails more welcoming and enticing? Instead of beginning with to-do lists and tasks the customer has to do now. Number three, how can a customized mail piece thank the customer for their business and express excitement about the way the relationship has started? Number four, how can phone conversations augment the new customer onboarding process by making them feel welcomed and included? Number five, how can videos create personal and emotional connections between the customer and the key members of your team whom the customer will interact with in the future? Number six, what present or presents could you give customers that would really make them feel welcomed? Pick one now. If you've answered the questions, and I hope you're not just listening, seriously, slow down and answer the questions. You have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the activate phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number one, what is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the activate phase even better? Number two, who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number three, how would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number four, how would you measure the improvement of the overall customer experience? Number five, how would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? From activate to acclimate. Now that you've considered your first major interaction post-sale and the customer experience that happens in the activate phase, let's consider what happens as the customer starts to interact with you and acclimates to your way of doing business. Chapter 12, Phase 5, Acclimate. Here's the overview of the acclimate phase. In the acclimate phase, the customer learns how the organization does business. The customer needs to get familiar with the various interactions that occur during the relationship. Businesses typically deliver their product or service dozens, hundreds, thousands, or millions of times, so they assume everyone knows their process and what will happen next. New customers don't have this understanding and need more handholding than you think. Vomiting can be prevented. I live in Colorado, high in the Rockies, at an elevation of 8,500 feet. Acclimation is something that has a particularly personal meaning to me. When friends or family members visit, I greet them at the front door with a large glass of water. This is not general courtesy. Guests arriving at our home are required to immediately drink at least 20 ounces of water to help them acclimate to the altitude. Occasionally, someone will say they don't need the water. When we first moved to our home, I let them decline the drink. However, after 20 to 30% of our visitors found themselves struggling with the effects of altitude sickness, which can range from splitting headaches to vomiting, I made the water mandatory. The water is a vital aspect of their acclimate phase, whether they realize it or not. Companies need to do the same thing with their customers, holding their hands and guiding them to make sure they get where they want to go, even if the customer protests and says they're fine. Slow down and help them acclimate. How do you achieve successful acclimation? By introducing customers to your organization's culture, people, processes, and systems in a way that allows them to get comfortable with the adjustment to a new environment. This may sound like common sense, but most organizations don't do it. Companies often assume a new customer already knows and understands everything about how the company works. They find themselves lulled into a false sense of security after a positive kickoff meeting or unboxing experience. The organization rides the wave of a good activate phase into the acclimate phase and expects the great experience to continue as the customer acclimates to the way the organization does business. Plus, it's all clearly spelled out in the paperwork that gets sent out to the customer, whether it's a service contract or a proposal. And of course, customers read that stuff thoroughly, right? What do you think? When you become a new customer, do you read all the fine print? I didn't think so. So when you're on the delivery side of the equation, why would you assume your customers are any different? Companies fail to recognize that customers are inundated with messaging and information in every aspect of their lives. This bombardment of information is overwhelming. Companies often find themselves caught off guard when a customer they thought was paying attention asks, "What comes next?" The company may believe that the process is clearly outlined and easy to follow, yet the customer is still getting used to working together. This creates a huge gap between what the company expects and how the customer feels. At this juncture, the customer probably doesn't feel comfortable with the product or service, at least not fully. They are still learning the ropes and beginning to interact with the elements of the product, service, and support team. They are also starting to learn about the company's additional product or service offerings. Acclimation is about making your customer feel comfortable with the people, processes, and systems of your business. If the entire process of onboarding customers is about creating a welcoming experience through a managed, structured series of contacts, then the acclimate phase is where it is most important to help the customer settle into a new reality, one that you know more about than they do. It's frustrating, I know, but this behavior exhibited by new customers, being focused on themselves instead of your onboarding process, is common across all humans. The hard reality of dealing with humans is that we are all insular and self-centered, at least to some extent. And when we are paying other people for products or services, we generally expect them to do the work for us. This is not meant as a judgment of anyone. I am like this as a customer as well. It's just a statement of fact. Sometimes a company will respond to the unsure customer with anger and hostility. The company doesn't understand why the customer didn't pay attention or read the contract or review the manual. The customer said they did, but if that's true, why are they asking these basic questions? So the company offers no help while the customer is lost and desperately needing guidance. You know what it's like to work with your company and you know the steps in your process. But your customer has barely absorbed this information. It doesn't matter that they've already signed on the dotted line, purchased the product, and participated in the kickoff meeting. They aren't caught up yet. As a result, the distance between where you think your customer is and where they actually stand is huge. It is imperative at this phase that you do everything you can to bridge that gap and familiarize your customer with your way of doing business. Pulling back the curtain to the delight of your customers. The secret to achieving success in the acclimate phase is to guide and assist your customer as much as possible during the entire relationship. At each step in the process, you need to explain what is happening and what is going to happen next. In many instances, you'll need to reiterate why this step is necessary and how it contributes to the overall goal the customer seeks to accomplish. International pizza provider Domino's does this well via an app that gives customers insight about their pending pizza delivery. After placing an order using the app, the customer is able to see exactly where the pizza is in the production process. They can follow along in real time as the pizza transitions from a plain dough crust to a crust stacked with ingredients to the oven, to the delivery person, to the delivery vehicle. By guiding the customer through the entire journey of pizza creation, cooking, and delivery, Domino's keeps the customer informed and engaged. This level of communication not only keeps the customer aware of and acclimated to every step in the process, but it provides updates on the various micro-accomplishments that are necessary in order to get the pizza from the oven to the table. Most people are familiar with the saying, "No one wants to see how the sausage is made." And yet research from both Harvard and Stanford shows the opposite. The research finds that customers want to know every step in the process. When they can see you doing the things you've promised to do, in other words, that you're working, it reduces uncertainty and allows them to plan their lives better. And it makes their overall satisfaction rate at the end of the engagement significantly higher. When customers can see you working for them, they feel more confident about their purchase and the care you are taking to deliver it. This leads to greater customer satisfaction with the original purchase and more repeat business in the future. Here's my quick takeaway. Regular communication tied to key milestones eliminates uncertainty. There are no dead spots. The customer always knows where they are in the process and gains a feeling of satisfaction knowing that you are working on their behalf. The silent ones are the dangerous ones. It is important to remember that customer behavior takes place on a largely subconscious level, and despite your best wishes, is rarely spoken about or addressed. When a customer feels like value isn't being delivered, value they were promised, they usually don't complain. Instead, they hope you will jump in to tell them what happens next. But when this hope turns out to be mistaken, when your communication becomes anything but regular and consistent, the customer disconnects, becoming more and more distant. They may be raising little red flags, muttering, "I don't know where I am," or even confiding in colleagues that they wish you would slow down. But because they rarely go so far as to raise their hand and say to you directly, "What? Whoa, pump the brakes," the company stays in a hard-charging, business-as-usual mode of operation, damaging the customer relationship with each passing day. Eventually, the project stalls, dies, and the relationship that once held such great promise falls apart. Even the customers who do complain or raise a concern often find their voices fall on deaf ears. At best, the company tries to reconnect and catch them up. At worst, and most often, the company shares the same timeline or description in the proposal and expects the customer to figure out where they are in the process. Handholding and map making. While the previous phase, Activate, focused on creating an initial spectacle, the Acclimate phase emphasizes consistent performance above all else. During the Acclimate phase, holding the customer's hand, providing step-by-step instructions, and checking in regularly provides a feeling of security and certainty. Each interaction should build upon the previous interaction. Not every interaction needs to be a spectacle filled with entertainment, but it should ease the customer's uncertainty and create a feeling of stability that is matched with a feeling of forward progress. In the acclimate phase, it's important to clearly communicate and provide the customer with a map that outlines the next steps. I mean this literally. An actual map, if at all possible, would be great. Your map should be a printed or online visual that the customer can use to easily identify their place on the path. It should also include regular reminders about what comes next and why it's imperative to stay in the flow. This is particularly important with more complex products or services and implementation timeframes with a longer duration. But you don't understand. Our process is too complicated to simplify. One of the most notoriously painful business activities is a software implementation. The horror stories about software implementations going awry are well documented and voluminous. Companies have been known to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on software that they never use. It is with this understanding of the industry that Policy Medical, a hospital records management software company in Toronto, embarked on an experience enhancement strategy to create a fun and easy to understand software implementation process. Software implementations usually involve a number of representatives from IT on both the provider and the customer side of the equation. In addition, there are end users who will be using the software after implementation that need to be trained on the new features and functionalities. Given that Policy Medical's software is used to manage internal policies, protocols, and procedures, for example, hand washing techniques and fall prevention policies, someone in human resources usually oversees the implementation process. In other words, the project manager usually lacks a computer science or technology background and has never overseen a software implementation before this one. When a novice is using the boss's money to implement a project, it never ends well. The lack of software experience often creates an even higher barrier to understanding and a greater level of stress and uncertainty on the part of the supervising project manager. As if this weren't bad enough, in the typical software installation engagement, the executive management team makes the decision to purchase the software without the project manager's knowledge. Often the first time the project manager learns about the new software is when voluntold to attend a kickoff meeting, where it is revealed that the project manager will oversee the project as part of their now expanded job responsibilities. In discussing the acclimate phase and exploring the standard implementation process with the Policy Medical team, it became clear that while each installation was different, commonalities existed across projects. Working together, we reviewed the implementation elements from a variety of prior client projects, identifying dozens of steps that were complicated, confusing, and rarely performed with any level of consistency by either the customer or the Policy Medical implementation team. After reviewing the steps and combining or eliminating those that were ridiculous, redundant, or merely unnecessary, we arrived at a series of 19 steps, and that was the simplified version, that needed to be completed on every project, regardless of client size or the specific software configuration. This step in the process is crucial, as you can only map out a process for your customers if you completely and comprehensively understand it. Show. Don't just tell. Working hand in hand with the Policy Medical team, we looked at the Excel spreadsheets, Gantt charts, email communications, and phone call agendas used in the old implementation process. Even though they used these tools every day, the Policy Medical team was surprised by the complexity and confusion. It was clear there was no way a customer could navigate it. In order not only to simplify implementations, but to bring a sense of fun and playfulness to these stressful projects, we brainstormed a number of ideas for creating an engaging and informative process. We decided that a puzzle could solve the problem. With the creation of a puzzle that showed the sequential steps in the process, non-technical project managers and implementation participants could clearly understand what came next. In addition, the puzzle gave project managers a fun and playful way of tracking progress that was consistent with the Policy Medical brand image and helped to de-stress an otherwise exasperating time. Working in close partnership with the Policy Medical customer experience team, as well as their technology implementation team, we developed a custom picture frame with 20 slots for inserting mini pictures. Each of the 20 pieces of the puzzle showcased a written description of the step in the process. For example, announce new software implementation to the entire hospital on one side, and a glossy image that represented the step, for example, a bright red megaphone, on the other side. Because their onboarding process had 19 steps, we made the final step, number 20, all about congratulating the customer on a job well done. At the beginning of an engagement, Policy Medical sends the customer-side project manager the frame and puzzle piece cards via overnight delivery to arrive the day of the kickoff call. During the video kickoff session, the Policy Medical team invites the customer to open the package. Once the customer has the frame and pieces in hand, Policy Medical explains the tracking process and gets the customer point of contact excited about this creative way to visualize progress during the implementation process. As the project proceeds, the Policy Medical team sends emails that include headers showing the image of the step in the process that the customer is currently working on. The body text of the email explains the necessary steps to complete this piece of the puzzle. The email concludes by foreshadowing the puzzle piece that comes next. As each step in the implementation process is completed, Policy Medical encourages the project manager to place the puzzle piece in the frame so that over time, the frame evolves to offer a visual representation of the progress to date. When the implementation is complete, the customer installs the final piece of the puzzle, another card with a personalized message of congratulations that the customer can put into the final slot in the frame. The project manager now has a completed frame with 20 images that serve as a memento of the completed process. The achievement of this major milestone is celebrated when a member of the Policy Medical team travels to the customer's location to host a successful launch celebration. By making the process visual in nature, as opposed to a multi-page document outlining the steps in the process in text speak, Policy Medical brings a feeling of creativity and fun to an otherwise onerous task. The implementation puzzle acclimates customers by giving them a clear map of the tasks, and it rewards their effort with an image they can proudly display in their office to memorialize a successful software implementation. Here's my quick takeaway. You must understand your own process deeply. Take complex processes and break them down into bite-sized pieces, being careful not to give customers all the information at one time. Turn technical and process-driven discussions into visual graphics to increase understanding. WADs, RXs, and burpees? When San Francisco CrossFit was founded in 2005, it was the 21st CrossFit gym in the world. To put that in perspective, there are now more than 15,000 worldwide. Customers were still figuring out what CrossFit meant. In the early days of CrossFit, it was so new that people would come in the door and join a class instantly. It was a serious initiation. Each class involved a ton of instruction, but to be a brand new client and try to join in is like taking a non-swimmer, dropping them into the deep end of a pool, and hoping for the best. observed Juliet Starrett, CEO of San Francisco CrossFit. Juliet didn't want the experience to be overwhelming for new clients, so she developed a fun, easy onboarding process. Every prospect who comes into the gym receives a 15-minute, no-sweat introductory tour. They meet a representative of the gym staff who answers any questions and allays any fears. Do I have to follow a paleo diet to do CrossFit? Or, how long will it take to learn the new workout routines? Or, do I have to tell everyone I meet that I do CrossFit? The prospect then receives a complete tour of the facility, including directions on where to put their clothes and gear and where to hang out if they show up early for a class. While the prospect is learning about the gym, the San Francisco CrossFit team is learning about the prospect. The tour is designed to feel educational and informative as opposed to salesy. If interested, the prospect signs up for an Intro to CrossFit series. During these three personal training sessions, the prospect is paired up with a coach who will work well with the customer's personality. For example, one of the coaches is known for being speedy in responding to emails, so she is paired with CEO clients who expect professional, fast responses to email communications. The Intro to CrossFit private sessions break down all the basics of CrossFit, from the CrossFit lingo, more on that later, to the safest, most effective approach, to the workout movements, to the location of the equipment. At the conclusion of the three intro sessions, the customer graduates. 90% of series participants do, which allows them to sign up for regular classes. The coach notifies the gym manager of the graduation, and the manager then reaches out to the customer to offer membership options and share the calendar of social events. There is no obligation to become a member of the gym, but 73% sign up right then. After the customer completes the first class as a graduate, the gym manager sends the High 10 email. This email congratulates the customer on finishing their first class. The message goes on to invite the customer to the next scheduled gym social event in an effort to foster and encourage participation in the community. The commitment to making gym members feel included continues throughout the relationship. Every class starts with the instructor asking everyone in the class, newbies and veterans alike, to introduce themselves. Juliet notes that this has a, quote, visibly calming effect on the participants and creates an immediate bond with the other class members. The tradition of starting each class with introductions began when the gym first opened and has been adopted by CrossFit gyms all over the world. San Francisco CrossFit and the entire CrossFit industry uses another fantastic tool to help acclimate customers and build community. They speak a distinct language. It's not unusual to hear a CrossFitter say, "The WOD RX includes 5 WBs, 20 DLs, and 10 burpees, 5X. Translated for non-CrossFitters, this means that the workout of the day, or WOD, as prescribed, RX, includes 5 wall balls, WBs, 20 deadlifts, DLs, and 10 sets of burpees done 5 times in repetition. We try to be as welcoming as humanly possible, notes Juliet. The lingo helps build community, but you have to come and participate to fully get it. While San Francisco CrossFit is a gym, they also consider themselves to be in the event business. Every week, something is going on in the gym or around town that a group of CrossFitters participate in collectively. The most anticipated event is the quarterly Taco Social, where the gym brings in a taco guy, provides a cooler full of, quote, crappy beer, that's Juliet's proud description, plays music, and creates the space for people to meet one another. This tight bond has affected members' lives outside of the gym. More than 20 marriages have taken place between people who met at San Francisco CrossFit, and 12 members have been so inspired that they left to start their own CrossFit gyms. We have a shirt-on policy, observes Juliet. Our gym isn't about showing off your abs. It's about community. The emphasis on community has a direct impact on customer retention. A tremendous 73% of intro series customers sign up for membership, and another 9% sign up for continued private training. Overall, 82% of customers transition into a formal, long-term relationship after being properly onboarded in the first 3 sessions. Over time, this produced a membership where 8% have belonged for more than 5 years, 60% for more than 3 years, and 22% for more than 2 years. Incredible retention, given that 44% of new members at the average gym leave within the first 6 months. The staff tries to connect people into the community events as early as possible in the relationship. Juliet explains that, quote, "We know that if we can get a new member to attend even one community event in the first 100 days of the membership, we have a huge advantage to have him stick with us." Juliet attributes the gym's success to its systematic onboarding process. "We've learned about the importance of acclimating our clients to our way of doing business. Even though it's more expensive for us and can be intimidating to our customers, it has made a huge difference in our retention and the overall success of our business. We often take someone who is afraid and skeptical of CrossFit and turn them into a customer for life." Here's my quick takeaway. Help your customers acclimate to your process by walking them, sometimes literally, through your world. If your company uses a particular lingo, introduce them to it early on so they feel included instead of excluded. Pair them with a well-trained, friendly employee who will shepherd them through the first few days of their experience. Don't forget that people crave community. When you give your customers the opportunity to find and create a community of like-minded people through their interactions with your company, it makes it easy for those customers to continue doing business with you. I'm on the plane. Where are my bags? I spend a lot of time on airplanes, and by a lot, I mean more than 100,000 miles flown per year. And from time to time, I find myself rushing to catch a connecting flight. Recently, my plane landed at the connecting airport 20 minutes late, which meant that I had to get from the international arrivals terminal to the domestic departures terminal as quickly as possible. I don't normally check a bag, but this time I had. As I patiently waited to be cleared through customs, I started to worry whether my bag would make the next flight. Once I cleared customs, I rechecked my suitcase and sprinted through the terminal looking for my gate. As I ran, I thought to myself, I might not make this flight, and there is no way my bag is going to make it. I made it to the departure gate just in time. I was literally the last passenger to board the plane before they closed the door. As I sat down in my seat and smiled at my good fortune in making the flight, my phone vibrated. It was a message from the Delta app telling me that my suitcase had just been loaded onto the plane. When was the last time you heard a good airline customer service story? I couldn't believe it. Not only had my bag made it onto the plane, but Delta had also taken the time to let me know. I spent my 3-hour domestic flight relaxing, knowing that when I arrived at my final destination, my suitcase would be there. Instead of spending 3 hours in the air worrying about how I would be prepared for an early meeting the next morning when I landed without clothes or toiletries, I was stress-free. My in-flight experience became remarkable because of what happened before the plane even took to the air. While this level of communication isn't necessary in every business, every customer has potential moments of stress when they interact with you. If you can identify when these stress points occur and then develop ways to alleviate the stress by communicating directly with the customer, it can turn a moment of strife and despair into a moment of surprise and delight. When companies take the time to truly acclimate their customers throughout the business engagement, it creates an entirely different level of experience. These communications may seem small, but they are huge to the customer. Every organization should think about the little things they can do to hold their customers' hands through the entire process. They should figure out how to let their customer know the work they've promised to do behind the scenes is being completed, on schedule, as promised. Here's my quick takeaway. Anticipate things that might cause your customer to feel negative emotions, anxiety, uncertainty, frustration, etc., and then figure out a way to address them before the customer even has a chance to ask you for help.